It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Okay, so I have decided to start alphabetizing my herb garden. I know, people say, where do you find the time? And I say, right next to the sage. I like that joke. I'd heard it before, but I'm rewatching Mock the Week episodes, and so it came up again today. Come on, it's a good one. And it's clean. You can tell that to anyone old enough to understand the alphabet, and that time is an herb.
There was a great bit on the Addams Family. Gomez was running for office, and so the press was coming over, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this guy comes in, and Lurch announces him. And Gomez says, so you're the press? And he said, yeah, I'm Brown from the Sun. He said, well, maybe you should use some lotion next time.
That's not bad.
It was really good. I couldn't even concentrate on the rest of the episode because I thought that was so funny.
You say it just like John Astin would say it, too. All right, so there's two things. One, I'm sorry, but you're probably going to have to answer a delivery person at the door tonight. Things happened. We had to order. It's a thing.
Okay.
So I apologize for that. And two, you know there are places that you can custom design your own T-shirts and order them, right?
Yeah.
Because you are weirdly fascinated by the Stetson University one.
I mean, I just...
Which just turns it... Apparently Stetson University, which... How is that a... place?
I don't know. It's in Florida. Somewhere in Florida.
They're it's not their mascot. It's their...
What?
Their collective noun. they are the Hatters.
Yeah, they are the Hatters.
And so William got really excited and he sent me a thing with a picture of it and Stetson University Hatters and all that. And I was like, we don't want any of the other stuff. And he says, you can customize it. So then he sends me a picture from them that's just a T-shirt. Just says Hatters. And I'm like, we can make this.
Well, sure. But originally when I heard of them.
You thought they were all our listeners.
No. When I heard of them, I was hoping I would find like on the university's website or something. Like officially licensed, whatever. And I wouldn't mind if it was like a Hatters baseball type thing. It doesn't have to just say Hatters for me personally if I was going to order one. So, and this was just the site I found and then I just sent it to you the way it was. But yes, I know you can, like on Zazzle used to be a thing, yeah. So.
And if you want to help us out, go to Custom Ink and on a purchase of $30 or more, use the promo code. No, we don't have.
The way I discovered it was...
I wish we did.
The guy that plays Lurch...
Yes.
...went to school there.
For real?
Oh. And also, I didn't know this, but he also does Thing, which I'm really impressed with because his hand acting is really good. But when Thing and Lurch are on screen together, it's one of the assistant directors does it. And as soon as I found that out...
You could tell the difference?
Yeah, you can really tell.
You can spot the difference between things?
Well, for one thing... Lurch, he's so big.
Yeah, it's a much larger Thing.
Yeah, it never really occurred to me that Thing is. I probably should have figured out it was him just by the size of Thing, right? I mean, if you think.
But I mean, frequently there's not a good sense of scale.
Well, I know, but people are like standing there, and when now that I know it's him, I do notice that, yeah, the hand is as big as, you know, Morticia's whole head, you know. It's pretty large when you really notice, but I didn't notice.
Thing worked out a lot. So I only know him from two things. I'm sorry, I don't have a better word for that. Adam's Family and a weird sci-fi movie from the 60s, I want to say.
Well, I think he made an appearance in Star Trek, actually.
I could believe that. He's
Cassidy's his last name. I always forget his first name.
There's this movie, and it's something... It's like called like Planet Earth or something, which is not at all useful. I can't remember. All I remember is him, and the lead is John Saxon, which should tell you volumes about the film right there to begin with. And it absolutely plays off like a failed TV pilot. Because it is this, it is in a post-apocalyptic future, this futuristic society down underground is coming out to investigate what's going on, and they find this primitive society where women run everything and men are slaves, and of course the men get captured and hijinks ensue. But it's very much they're going out to explore things, and this is their first adventure.
Oh, something else he did was...
And he was a member of that crew.
He narrated the opening of Incredible Hulk.
Oh. The Bill Bixby one?
Yeah.
Well.
Now, Lurch talks. He actually talks a lot, more than I remembered. Like, conversationally he'll talk sometimes.
I don't remember that.
Well, the thing is, he never talked in the comics, and Charles Adams never intended for him to talk. And the show hadn't intended for him to talk. But he ad-libbed the "you rang," and they thought that was so funny that they let him do other things. And there are lots of episodes that focus on him, and he talks a lot. And the acting
getting his correspondence degree.
The acting is really good. I mean, this guy is amazing. Sadly, he died. I think he's 46. I want to say he had this tumor that wasn't cancerous, but you know they had to remove it. And after the surgery, he just didn't recover very well, and he passed away. But just a really smart guy, a very good actor, very talented.
Huge hands.
Is it 6? I want to say 6'9" or something. Really tall guy.
Mm-hmm.
But not much taller than you. I mean, aren't you 6'5"?
No.
What are you?
My brother is 6'5".
Oh.
I am 6'1½".
Okay.
Exactly. I would love to be able to round one way or the other, but I'm right at 6'1½".
I guess Mark is Mark 6'5"? He's
pretty tall.
Yeah.
Oh no, no. But he's up there.
So yeah, it's been really fun.
Me and Greg Davis is
to 6'8". Watch Adam's Family and learn all this stuff. I'd forgotten that Morticia, Carolyn Jones, I'd forgotten that she played Hippolyta in the Linda Carter Wonder Woman.
What?
Not in the pilot.
No, that Cloris was Leachman, Leachman did, in the pilot. Right. Which was the only time I'd ever seen Cloris Leachman in a dramatic, meant to be, like, attractive role. And it was confusing to me. Not that she wasn't attractive. But
she's from Des Moines, by the way. Anyway, but later Cloris Leachman didn't play Hippolyta. Carolyn Jones did. I'd totally forgotten that. And she'd been in some other things, too. But, yeah, it's been really fun to watch. It's too bad that it had so many problems. Because, you know, they do things like repeat gags.
Yeah.
Which, and I don't mean like "you rang." I mean like whole gags they'll do that they did in a previous show. There's a famous scene where Morticia and Gomez are fencing. You've probably seen it because I think it's like right in the title.
Yeah.
They use that same scene 3 times throughout the series run. One time, they're talking. The other 2 times, they overdub different dialogue. And it's so obvious. And, you know, they've got a cat that's a lion. And they've got like 3 shots of the lion, and they use those same ones every single time. So the quality of it along those lines is really low. I'm sure it was a budgetary thing, right? I mean,
Pugsley ate the lion. That's what I heard.
but man, when it's good, it is so good. And then the laugh track.
How much more have you got left?
Just a few more. The laugh track is always a little off. Like, the humor doesn't really work for the laugh track. It'd almost be better if it didn't have a laugh track at all. But what's funny to me is, you know, all the actors are, like, acting so well. You know what I mean? They're really dedicated to this goofy, low-budget thing. Mm-hmm. And they do a great job. Like I said, the Lurch episodes are really good. I mean, the acting he does for this goofy character is really good. And of course, the hand acting with Thing. People, I think, don't understand how hard that is. Especially since sometimes he's doing things where he's placing his hand on places. So he probably had a monitor that he was using to do the hand, so he could see his hand act. But when you use a monitor, everything's reversed. Yeah. So that makes it harder. So really impressive. I'm totally impressed by this guy.
Avoiding weird gestures, very difficult.
I'm totally impressed by this guy, and I'm really sad that he died so young.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. The only podcast in the world that if you were in a boat on a lake that was on fire and other people pulled up and instead of helping you, like they just laughed at you and said, like, just flip over because the water will save you, but you knew you couldn't because you couldn't swim, but eventually rather than burn to death, you did flip over and then you couldn't swim, but then the people realized you couldn't swim in the boat and so they sent you life preserver and brought you back later and then took you to shore and you had to file an insurance claim, we would be the insurance claim agent. Metaphorically speaking.
Yes.
I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 416.
Yes.
416, yeah. That's right.
Good day, and welcome to episode 416. Five golden tukes. It's only been 1 week this time. It feels much longer.
It does feel like it's been a while.
Last weekend felt very long, in a good way. Like, last weekend was awesome, but when I, like Sunday night when we came back home, I pulled up Fallout 4 and I was like, I feel like I haven't played this in weeks. It's been like 3 days. And it was so weird going back to work. How is your week? You watched The Addams Family.
Watched The Addams Family and I'm really loving it.
You watched your wife play Red Dead Redemption 2.
And, I wanted to say, I was talking, since I saw you last, I also saw some Americans, and I was telling you that it seemed to be holding up, and it wasn't engaging in any kind of, like, alias type stuff.
Yeah.
And I spoke too soon. Because here's what happened. Here's what happened. In the last season I watched, I'm not sure which season this is, they introduced an element that was basically the overarching, like a character who's supposed to tie together everything for the whole season arc.
Okay.
You know, each show has its own little arc. And each character has, so there's one overarching arc for the whole thing, and this guy was this character was the center of it. And pretty much everything they did with this character didn't make sense. And I thought, well, maybe it'll make sense in the end. No, it didn't. In fact, they did even dumber things with this character, and I thought, well, why did they do that?
What I hear later, there's a possessed ventriloquist dummy that comes in.
I mean, the rest of the season was great.
A lot of murderous clowns.
The rest of the season was very, very good. It's just everything that related to this guy made zero sense.
I hear it's kind of cool when Kerry Russell plays her own long-lost twin brother. That's kind of neat. But
that would be cool. Actually, in the Addams Family, Carolyn Jones plays Ophelia, a Morticia's sister, and it's hilarious. Yeah. It is so good. But anyway, I wanted to say that about Americans because I just spoke so highly of it, and then they did something dumb. But it's still good. I mean, I'd still recommend it, and I think there's still a lot of authenticity in the story too, which is what I appreciate most about it. But you had a big weekend. I mean,
I did. First though, since we're talking TV here, I do want to bring up, I finally started The Good Place.
Oh, you've never
at the gym.
Watched it?
We watched the second episode when it was on TV, just like there, we wanted something on and it was there and we found it okay, but kind of weird and not, we didn't end up watching more.
Right.
Now that I'm seeing them in order, makes way more sense. You establish a lot of stuff in that first episode. I kind of knew what was going on, but it makes more sense. And I discovered 3 apparently was the number to get me hooked.
Oh, okay.
Three episodes. The third episode, they finally start having some subplots with other characters. You get another big sort of twist to the mystery and things like that. And that was the point at which I'm like actively eager and excited to see more. Now I've seen 4 episodes. I'm enjoying it a lot.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm
that's
very
good.
Pleased with it. This is probably not any news to anybody else. I feel like all of our listeners have seen. I think everybody has seen the show except for me. So we haven't watched a lot of other shows because we've been busy. We did watch the second episode of Miracle Workers. It's good. I still like it. It's a good show. It's a little confusing right now watching it and The Good Place. My head's getting confused because they're both like set in heaven. So I'm like, oh, and then that was that show. clearly, Ted Danson's going to be the standout for this show. I mean, they're all great, but he's nailing it, but he's also just got so much to work with. We spent a lot of time last episode with his excitement over and fascination with Suspenders and how he loves them, but they're really dumb. And I don't know if I should. You were talking about Suspenders, right? You pull them. He's like, you can do that? Oh, my God, I'm even more excited. He got to kick a dog into the sun. I mean, it was fun. But I know it's a good cast all around. I'm pretty pleased. I have very mixed feelings about Kristen Bell. But when you cast her right, she is amazing. And I feel like she was cast very well here.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, she's kind of my least favorite character so far, but she's kind of supposed to be.
Yeah.
Like, I think that works. But yeah, I'm very excited about that. I still have half an episode of season 3 of Orphan Black to get to, and I still haven't. And I feel like that's telling. Like, the fact that I don't give a fuck about the last half of the last episode of the season on a show that, first of all, does huge cliffhangers at the end of seasons, and second of all, I already know has something huge at this one, because other friends talked about how their jaw fell on the floor at the end of this season. Like, the fact that I'm just like, I'll watch that. It may be a while before I go back. I'm not sure I give a shit anymore. but yes, we went to GamCon.
Yeah, you did. Tell me all about it. I want to know.
I wasn't lying. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So much of that goes to having my wife and little sister there.
Sure.
Which I hadn't really realized, but it's definitely a thing. It's fun to have Trish there, and there's stuff that we like and we do together, and then there's stuff that Trish isn't that into, and then Stephanie's into a lot of that, and so then we do that together, and then there's stuff that like neither of them are really into, and that's fine. I do my own thing, and then they do stuff together. Mm-hmm. And we're a good triad, I think, for gaming. And I think we're just a good triad for like traveling and things like
sure.
that. But it was a great time. I played in a shit ton of games. I signed up for 6. I ended up playing 5 of them. I did. By Saturday night, I was like, getting tired. And the game the next morning was a game I had sort of ran it, like I didn't know much about it. It wasn't something I was like really eager about. And I was like, I just want to sleep in. And also that's the day we got to check out, so I have to check out before we do. And also it was a game from 9 to noon, and then I had a different game from noon to 3. And I was like, that just sounds crazy. So I skipped that one. Apparently it was pretty good, but I played the other 5 and I had a great time and I learned a lot of stuff about new games. I played in Dave of Id's Amber Game.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that.
The first act. It was very cool. It made me sad I couldn't play any of this. Dave is supposedly going to tell me what happened in the rest of it. and in fact, the things that happened in the first act, I was like, are people going to be playing my character? They're like, no, new players will make new characters. I'm like, okay, you take this character sheet. I feel like where she's gone so far, she could make an interesting third act villain because of the stuff that was happening. He's like, good point. So Addie's just exploring for some reason. But that game was very fun. And then that night I played my first ever Call of Cthulhu game.
First ever, huh?
Yes. Huh. I played Cthulhu-based games, but Call of Cthulhu with the basic role-playing system and all that, which is entirely percentile-based.
Mm.
I had never played that before. That was very cool. It was a very weird scenario. We were driving a yacht from Boston to Liverpool to give it to its new owners. Mm. I was actually the wealthy owner of the yacht and had just sold it. And we found an abandoned frigate, or abandoned refrigerated cargo ship, and stopped to investigate, and then it turned out to be creepy and scary.
Oh.
Weirdly, we survived.
Oh.
Which doesn't happen.
Without being crazy?
Call of Cthulhu. Yes.
Huh.
One of the people went temporarily crazy.
Hmm.
Now, I don't know if there was this was a modern age version, so I don't know if the rules were different or what. It was pretty interesting, and it was pretty fun, and just the mystery of it was fun. Because, like, we're exploring the ship bit by bit, and, like, you find more things. Like, what the hell is this?
What was your character like?
My character was kind of a jackass. Everybody was kind of a jackass. My guy was... I think I'd been in the Navy, and I had befriended this old guy who used to tell all these fucked up stories about, like, scary things on the sea and stuff. And I didn't believe any of them. I was a very skeptical character. But I had turned them all into a bunch of best-selling novels.
Oh.
And I was having some issues with money. I forget why. And so my mom, who apparently, like, I just pay for her, like, she gets a stipend from me, gave me information about this ship that was out here that could be salvaged. Hmm. And this particular safe in the cabin's quarters that could help out. So we found this random derelict and decided to check it out. But in reality, I was setting us up the whole time to go check it out. Joke was on me, though. There was no fucking safe. Everybody was dead. At one point, I slipped on what turned out to be a bunch of human meat. That was fun. So
your mom just knows about random ships.
That was
floating
the thing.
Out
Everybody's like, what the hell does your mom do? I honestly don't know. No, and what we eventually figured out is because one of the lifeboats was gone, somebody escaped and told my mom, or told somebody who told my mom, to get to meet. Like, somebody wanted us to go there, it seems like. Don't know why, though. The monster turned out to be this weird... It looked very odd. It was an archer thing of some kind, and it... There was heavily implication that it was a thing mentioned in the saga of Eric the Red, called a cyapod or something like that.
Mm.
But it would shoot these giant crystalline 6-foot-long barbed arrows and fucked a lot of us up pretty bad. And everybody involved was mostly there because of me. I had invited an ex-girlfriend because I was still trying to sort of get together with her. I have this friend who's a football, like, European football star, Irish guy, who I just, like, spend money on him and invest in his stupid schemes and shit like that because my mom has asked me to look after him. After the game's over, I find out nothing in his backstory does he even know my mom, so I have no idea what that was about. My lawyer, who's a fucking lunatic spiritualist, former cop, oh my god, he was insane. And then a guy I work with for private security sometime, as a favor to him, he came on the boat with this young woman who's the daughter of some client who he was supposed to get across the ocean. Still have no idea what the fuck that was about either. So it was pretty nuts.
What about your character from Amber? What was...
My character from Amber, everybody else was making sort of like... royalty and different medieval... We were all supposed to be from different places and, like, not have experience with Amber or anything like that. Mm. Some people had heard of it, but, like... So we had, like, a fancy minor noble from a world nearby Amber and another fancy noble from a world a little further from Amber. And then there was this one who just played... Well, she basically went for Grace Jones in the second Conan movie. She was this, like, leopard print-wearing... heroine who just, like, killed shit and saved villages and things. Meanwhile, I just played a little shape-shifting con man girl who lived on some world far, far away and pretty much just scammed people for money periodically. And in fact, when we started off, I was in a village where there had been a curse on the local crops and livestock, and I was there to help, whereas in reality, each farmer individually had just hired me to fuck over the other one's crops. So I was kind of, and I was a shapeshifter, so I could like turn into this very young, cute looking thing so people would pity me and all that stuff. But we didn't get super far, and that was the only downside. I love David, but he had a three act thing going, and this very much felt like the first section of a campaign. So it felt very introductory. And then I was done.
You wanted to learn a little bit about running an Amber game, did you?
I just wanted to know if it could be done. I mean, I know the system. I ran the system.
Oh, okay.
I just wanted to know if it could be done and not suck. And it definitely can be done and not suck. It was done pretty well. I was very pleased. I would have played more if I'd had the time. But, so that was Friday. Saturday, played the most awesomest game ever.
Oh.
You may have run into this, because this could have been something David did before. Are you familiar with Lady Blackbird?
Yes.
Have you played Lady Blackbird?
I have.
Okay.
I'm not sure how much I remember it. You know, as you're talking about it, I'm sure I'll remember
more. Okay, Lady Blackbird, for those who don't know, is a scenario. Like, it's not a game system. It's not a campaign. It is a one-shot game somebody created. And to do it, they created a setting, and they created a system, like with dice and everything. And then they created a particular scenario and five pre-made characters for it.
Right.
People love the shit out of this thing, so much so that I know multiple people who have turned it into campaigns.
Oh.
Including the person who was running this, who's been doing a 3-year-long campaign with her local gaming group.
Wow.
And other games that have taken the system from this and built new games off of it. I had always been very curious about this. On top of this, the woman who is running this is a friend of a friend, now kind of just becoming a friend, named Tasha Robinson. You might also know she's an online journalist. She wrote for the AV Club a long time, and then the Dissolve, and she's out there in a few places. I think she mostly is freelancing now. And I followed a lot of her work, and then I found out she's an old college friend of two people in my gaming group.
Mm.
And she comes back. She went to college here, so she comes back for the cons and all that. And so I always play in any game she's running because she's really good. So this was her, my sister-in-law, or sorry, that was her running it. The players were me, my sister-in-law, two members of my gaming group, and another friend of theirs who I also know.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a really good group to work with. The system is very success and action-oriented. It's very easy to try and do things. It's very easy to help other people do things. Failure, there is failure, but it's not a particularly deadly system or whatever. Like, if you failed, things happen, like you can get injured and stuff like that. But, like, there's no mechanic for it. You just role-play that out.
Sure.
So it very much encourages you to, like, try your crazy plan out or whatever. Like that. And it's in a sort of sci-fi setting, but in this particular world, it's space is actually the sky, and it's blue, and there's air to breathe outside and stuff. But otherwise, like, there's planets and ships that go between and stuff like
right.
that. And I had a hell of a time. I played the leftover character, sort of. There's five characters in this. One is a noblewoman with magic powers who is fleeing the empire to go get away from it because it sucks. There's an empire. They're bad. And she's accompanied by her former slave bodyguard. The other three characters are... they hired basically a ship like you would like in Firefly
mm-hmm.
to like smuggle them out. And it's the captain, the pilot, and the mechanic of that ship.
Right.
And I played the mechanic.
Oh.
Who, like, as was explained, was like sort of all the leftover character bits. Because they had the captain, who's pretty much just Malcolm Reynolds from Firefly. And then the pilot is a goblin shapeshifter. And they don't specify what a goblin is in this game. So you kind of get to make it up.
Mm.
Uh, And then there's me, and I can do a little bit. I'm a very jack of all trades. I could do some magic stuff. I could do some stealth stuff. I do mechanic stuff. And it was just really fun, and we had a really good time. And it has, like, there's dice pools you work from, and you can add them to things to make stuff more likely to happen. And then to refresh it, you have little scenes with other people, and it can be like, you know, a touching scene where you guys connect somehow, or a common thing is some sort of flashback scene.
Mm.
And so we had a lot of these, and I had a lot with the goblin one. Like, this reminds me of this other mission we went on, and we came up with the craziest fucking ideas. It was pretty awesome. I love that game. I want to run that game. I want to use that system. I found out that this same person who made this made other games that I have played in. And so that Blades in the Dark game that was at CorridorCon that I really liked, he made that game. And a bunch of others. So I'm super excited about this. I want to use this system, and I want to use this setting for other things in the future. I like it a lot, and I just had a really good time.
Yeah, I remember playing that. I don't remember who ran it. I don't know if Dave was running it or one of the other guys.
It's hugely popular. It's been out for like 3 years and everybody loves it. And like I said, I know multiple people who have turned it into full-long campaigns. And
I don't remember which part I played, though.
I feel like you'd play the goblin. I feel like you'd be Sargle.
I don't know. I don't remember.
And then, in the afternoon, I finally got to play with Trish. And we played Dread.
Which is?
Dread is a game I had never played before. It's very popular. It is a system used for horror one-shots. Specifically the sort of game where the tension is constantly being ramped up.
Okay.
And the reason is this. The entire mechanic for it is whenever you want to do something that, like, you know, normally you'd roll dice or whatever for something that has a chance of success or failure, you take a pull on a Jenga tower.
Yeah, that's right. I've never played it, but I've seen people play it.
And it sounded terrible to me for years because I'm just like, that's so arbitrary. You only have one or zero. Either it falls or not. And, like, so if you want to look for something hidden early in the game, the odds are much better than later in the game, and that seems weird to me. And, of course, there is only one answer. If it falls, you die, no matter what you were trying to do.
I think Will Wheaton's...
Yeah, he did a tabletop on it.
Yeah, I think I watched some of that.
And the reality is, yes, that's exactly true, and it only works for a certain type of game. But if it's one of those horror stories where things are just getting scarier and worse, it's perfect. This one was a particular one the guy invented about a science experiment going wrong and giant monsters coming out of the Coralville Reservoir.
Oh.
And because it involved giant monsters, it involved giant Jenga.
Oh, no. Really?
Yes.
Wow, that's pretty clever.
And it was very fun.
Yeah.
There were four players. Trish, at a certain point, about halfway through, sacrifice yourself. You can do that. Instead of pulling, you can knock it over on purpose, and you'll die, but you, like, can do an amazing, you know, you go out in a blaze of glory kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And so she did that to help us out, and then she stuck around, obviously. But that one didn't fall down. She just said that, and then we just rebuilt it to the beginning again. And then we finished it, and it never fell down.
Mm.
But it was really high, and it was getting really tense. And he's like, should we just keep going? And we decided we were just going to keep going with the Jenga tower, all taking turns, the three of us left. And whoever it fell, he would do an epilogue of like how that person eventually died. And so we keep going. It was insane. Like, we came remarkably close to the maximum you can do on a Jenga tower. I started losing my shit. I was making noises I could not, like, the whole thing. I was sweating. It was so tense. And we weren't even playing a game. We were just playing Jenga. Freaked me the fuck out. A crowd gathered. Here's the thing. It might show up out on the internet.
Oh, okay.
Because, like, at least four people were filming this.
Wow.
Afterwards, I went and I downed a pint of Guinness afterwards because I was just so tense. I didn't make it fall, though. Wasn't me. I was very pleased. But holy shit. at a certain point, I'm like, this is not natural. This should not be. This should have fallen. Physics is not at play here. It was absolutely insane. But yeah, it was a good time. And yeah, then the next day I skipped. And then we played food truck. Or sorry, gruel truck.
Gruel truck.
Gruel truck. Turns out one of the people from Happy Jacks created this game called Gruel Truck. And the basic premise, it's a social party game with other people. And the basic premise is you are a bunch of former fantasy heroes who are now trying to operate a food truck.
Hmm.
And the person... Hello? Hello? All right, we'll meet you at the door.
He's just outside the door.
All right. Yeah, you're right there. All right.
Hey, Dredge, your food there.
Yeah, sometimes they do that just because they don't like knocking on the door. I don't know what the fuck that's about. Sometimes they do that because in the night here, it can be hard to find our address number. So sometimes they just, like, they know they're on the right block and do it. But yeah, in this case, he was right at the door. But no, so this guy had skinned it all as Middle Earth. So we were going through Middle Earth with our food trucks.
Mm.
And so you basically have all the standard tropes. So, like, I played an orc.
Mm-hmm.
My sister-in-law played a dwarf. Trish played a thief. And there's a knight. There's a wizard. And they all have different things that can contribute to this. And then you just try and run a food truck.
Mm.
And you're competing. In our case, we're competing against other food trucks to try and get the customers and all of this. And it's a very silly game. I think I like it a lot. It is tricky enough. I think the best way to play it would be with a big group of people and then a bunch of people helping the person running it so they could, like, run messages and things between the groups.
Because
there's a lot of shit. It's a speed-based thing.
Mm.
You're trying to do things before other people can do things and stuff like that. Mm. But you're all at different tables.
Mm.
And some of the things you do can affect the other people.
Mm.
So it doesn't really work if you're just, like, yelling it over because maybe they're not paying attention and that kind of thing.
Right, right.
But it's a pretty neat idea. So I enjoyed that, too. That was pretty fun.
Well, sounds like it was a good time.
It was a very good time. Nothing really that interesting. Oh, no. I was going to say nothing really interesting this week. I lied. Last night, we went... I don't think I talked about this. Last week, it was Trisha's date night on Wednesday, and she finds out there's a comedian going to be at the Mill downtown.
Sure.
Recording his first ever comedy album.
Oh.
And so we go for that.
Yeah.
Only problem, wasn't happening.
Oh.
We got to the Mill, and they're like, we have no idea what you're talking about. What the hell? So we just had dinner, which was fine. In the process, Trish found out it was the next week, a.k.a. last night.
Oh.
So we went last night and saw... the guy's name was Dante Powell. He's from Des Moines. And there were a couple of acts before then that... There was some opening acts, and then there was him. And he was pretty funny. The opening acts had moments, and other... It was interesting.
Sure.
We had a very good time. I highly recommend checking out Dante Powell, although apparently he hasn't released an album yet. This is his first one, but check him out. He's very funny. Here's the thing. And here's the main thing I want to talk about. Well, two things. One, the woman who did the Lady Macbeth thing that I loved so much,
mm-hmm.
She's a comedian now. She was there. Got to see her. She didn't perform, but I was like, I know you. Anyway... So, one of the opening acts, is talking about his previous jobs and things, and he's been a rodeo clown and things like this. But he went to work somewhere for a while, and they were asking about his previous job. And he said his previous job was arranging the hire of donkeys for donkey basketball at schools.
Yeah.
Well, you seem familiar with this.
Oh, yeah, we had...
Please explain it to our audience.
Well, I'm not sure why it was done, but in Melcher, every year, the faculty of the elementary school and the high school, and I think sometimes they played each other, but anyway, there were these people that would show up with these donkeys, and they would go out in our gymnasium where our basketball floor was, and you'd play basketball while you were riding the donkeys. Now, I can't remember if it was done for charity or something, I don't know, but it was just a thing that the faculty did every year for many years, played donkey basketball as a kind of a thing to entertain the locals, I guess.
Yes. Several things about this. Okay, we're going to open with what the fuck?
You'd never heard of that before?
Just as a secondary point, in case you didn't know, this is by no means universal.
Well, I know, I realize that.
But apparently, in the middle of the country, in rural enough schools, it's pretty common. Because Trish was like, yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah, I know what it is, sure.
Third of all, this is the part that's really bugging me, because I hear this. I'm familiar with this concept before this show.
Oh, you've heard of it then.
But not in real life.
What do you mean?
The Simpsons did it, and I absolutely thought they made it up.
Oh.
Because it was so patently insane.
Yeah, it's crazy.
There's a specific episode. Bart gets... He has a reaction to, I think, getting a shot or whatever, and his ears swell, but he has to stay home, and he's very disappointed because that's the day that the student-faculty donkey basketball game is.
Yeah, yeah.
And he goes anyway, and we can't hear what's going on, and he ends up accidentally mooning the American flag, and so then everybody thinks the Simpsons are unpatriotic, and that's the main plot of the episode.
Hmm.
100% thought that... Let me refer you to my first point. What the fuck?
Look, I don't know. All I know is...
How is this a thing? Craig, back me up here. You're not even from this country. This is insane, right?
This was something that they did every year for... I mean, maybe they did it every single year I was in school there. It doesn't seem like they did it every single year, but...
Suddenly, all the insanity and terribleness surrounding small towns' obsession with their high school football teams pales... Now that I know, oh yeah, also they just hire donkeys and play donkey basketball once a year.
I don't even remember if it was like 5-on-5 or 3-on-3 or... But
what would be really cool is if it was the faculty,
it was all faculty
versus
though.
The donkeys.
No, they had to ride the basketball. Donkeys.
No, I think that would be more fun than that. But...
So yeah, I mean, obviously you didn't have to dribble or anything. You're on the donkey and you can pass back and forth and shoot and you can try to block or you can try to do other things.
And the follow-up joke this guy had later is when he was working wherever it was, he got caught with a dip of chewing in his
tobacco,
mouth while
yeah.
he was working. And his boss was unhappy about that. And he's like, why would you think that's... And he's like, my family, everybody chew. Like, at family Christmas, we've all got a dip of chew and whatever. But he's like, would you have done that at your old job? And he's like, I told you my old job was hiring donkeys for... In my old job, I would have bummed a dip of chew off the school principal because those are the kind of people that work at schools that hire donkeys to play basketball in their gymnasium.
That's actually true, yeah. Well,
I turned to Trish, like, I was like, nobody's going to answer this right now. I really wanted to stop the show and be like, is this real? Because The Simpsons did this.
What got me about it is...
What's the one thing that got you about,
what got me about
donkey
it,
basketball every year at your school?
I'm going to tell you.
All right.
You got to understand. This was in our gymnasium. This was in an actual gymnasium.
Yes.
Okay.
Inside, not like a field somewhere.
We had...
This was indoors,
that's
along
right.
with plumbing and things.
We
electricity.
We had a PE teacher. So we had more than one PE teacher, but they would all, if you were a student...
Yes.
And you were walking through the gymnasium for any reason, maybe because you were going to the locker room for gym class, or you just walking through for some other reason, they would freak out if you walked across the floor, if you didn't walk around it. And if you...
Because that space is exclusively for the donkeys.
I mean, no, because it's expensive to maintain it and wax it and everything else. In fact, if you were... you know, there were rules about gym too. Like you had to have a special pair of shoes for gym.
You couldn't have black shoes. That we had that too. You make marks on the floor if you have
Shoes or you track in dirt or whatever else. And so then they'd have these donkeys, and and they were doing their thing on the floor, right? Someone had to come up and shovel it up.
These were not specially toilet trained donkeys. If they were, they'd have a bigger game.
Why? Why are you doing this to this floor that you are?
And to these donkeys.
Actually, I think. I mean, I don't. Maybe they only did it like every other year. Like every other year, they refinished it. So they thought, let's have some donkeys run on it, and then we'll refinish it.
There wasn't an election to keep people focused. They would have donkey basketball.
I don't know what it was, but it just seems so weird that they were. I mean, they were real sticklers about walking on the floor.
As somebody who,
and then they'd have donkeys on
The coast. Like this is one. Had I known this, I might not have moved to this part of the country. This is insane. Who's the person that first came up with this?
I don't know. I mean, we probably do all... I mean, it didn't seem any weirder than anything else that...
And that frightens me.
We did. You know, because there were... it just didn't seem any weirder. Like, there was always something like... At Coal Miner's Day, we'd have down in Melcher. And there were, you know, the principal or superintendent or some school person would do some stunt.
And, like...
You know, and the kids would pay to see them get dunked or get pie in their face or whatever.
And I'm not opposed to donkeys. I grew up, we'd have small fairs and you'd ride a donkey. Your mom paid $3 and you rode a donkey, which was tethered to a pole in the middle and you just rode in a circle.
That's right.
Whatever. Donkeys, fine. Taking donkeys... Putting them in a school.
In the school,
on school grounds.
I know that.
In a school.
I know. That seems strange to me, too.
Putting people on them and playing basketball.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to assume here, during school hours?
Well, no, it was a night.
Oh, okay. It was a night game.
Yeah.
All right. I got to admit, that makes it slightly less crazy. But still, all the stuff up to that point, crazy. Yes.
You forgot the part where you put the tarps down so when they poop, it doesn't make a mess.
Apparently they didn't. No, that's the thing.
Not in my school.
Did you have donkey basketball?
I have never attended a game of donkey basketball.
Did your school have it, though?
Not that I remember.
All right.
I didn't. I don't think I attended them all, but I attended plenty of them.
All right. Well, we're running out of time, so this episode is definitely called Donkey Basketball. Draw some stuff out of that.
It was kind of humorous to watch these teachers try to get these donkeys to do things that the donkeys didn't want to do.
42-year-old me is like, what is wrong with the school system that this is a thing?
That's pretty funny.
16-year-old me would be at every goddamn donkey basketball game. And I'm not going to lie, 42-year-old me would still show up. I would say, this is a terrible idea. Hell yeah, I'm going to watch a donkey basketball game.
Because, you know, donkeys don't always do what you want them to do.
They're kind of famous for not.
That's exactly right. So it was kind of funny to watch someone, the donkey would just stand in the middle and not do anything, and the person couldn't do anything about it. They just have to sit there and try to get it to move.
Half-court shot.
It was pretty funny. Anyway.
Did they have to dribble?
No.
That would have been better.
Nope.
All right. Who is it? What's it say?
Craig wants to know.
Craig.
If you...
What the fuck is up with donkey basketball? Sorry.
If you, Tony and William...
Excuse me.
I'm glad he specified that. Ever...
I feel like this question is not for you.
Ever fell out, would you continue doing the podcast out of spite?
I don't know how to tell you this. We fell out 4 years ago, and that's exactly what we're doing right now.
You know, if we had a falling out, it would have to be you having a falling out with me.
That's the thing. Like,
and me being completely clueless about it.
I genuinely cannot picture what us having a falling out would look like.
I can't either. I mean, it's not like we've always agreed or haven't, you know, bumped heads on things, but it's not. I don't think it occurs to either one of us that that would be a deal breaker or something.
Yeah, something that's so fundamental that it's just like... And like, you know... And part of it is the nature of us, mostly him. And part of it is, seriously, guys, this is the bulk of our friendship at this point. We don't exactly see each other a lot outside of this.
No.
So we would have to have a podcasted fight that was so bad that it ended our friendship. That would be hard to do with anybody, yeah, let alone the two of us.
Yeah, yeah.
But, okay, hypothetically. I mean, yeah, it's hypothetical. It's a dumb question, hypothetically, because, yeah, no, I would not. Like, if I genuinely was like, fuck you, I don't want to hang out with you anymore. I'm not doing a podcast with you at that point.
No, I wouldn't think so.
Especially because at this point, we literally, I'm paying money for our friendship. I am paying $10.95 a month for our friendship.
Mm.
It's not the advertising revenues or the legions of groupies that we get off of this.
Yeah, I don't. I'm probably paying quite a bit less. Gas.
But I mean, I'm just saying. Maintenance of the car.
That's it. However much
we podcast
is.
For our friendship.
Yeah.
We aren't friends because of the podcast. And so, yeah, there would be no reason to if that happened. But I can't picture that. Like.
Do you
ever fight with anybody? One time you were very upset.
Yes.
And I love how I say that and you're like, yes, I remember that one time ever that I've been upset.
Yes, I do.
And there was one time and I was pushing your buttons. I was trying to help. I was doing a shitty job of it. And you threatened to walk out of the room we were in. That wasn't a friendship ender, though. I'm not in a place I can cope with this right now.
And I didn't want to say anything that I didn't mean.
And we were in public and all sorts of things. But it was very much a, this can't happen right now.
It wasn't a.
If you do this, I will end my relationship.
And I wasn't even mad at you.
No. I absolutely get the whole thing. I'm just saying that's the closest emotional. Thing we've ever had to a fight.
I was just emotional and I knew I couldn't deal with it.
Yeah.
But. When I was young, I had a pretty short temper for a little while.
Oh, I did too.
There was a period of time where I had a really short temper. But after a certain age, it's really hard to get me mad.
After certain medications.
And the only time I've ever lost it, after that age anyway, in my adult life, very particular conditions have to be met. The relationship has to be really high stakes.
Yeah.
And so it's like someone I'm dating or married to, really.
Yeah, yeah. Our relationship is very low stakes. Really, it's a podcast.
So, at GammaCon,
I got some steampunk goggles.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to get something, and honestly, the swag wasn't that good, and these were pretty cheap, and I always kind of want them. Like, I can't wear them with my glasses. And when I put them on my head, there's a spot on my forehead that it hurts. But they look cool, and they were pretty cheap. I was surprised. You would think steampunk goggles would be kind of expensive. These weren't that bad. Anyway.
But it also takes a long time.
Yes.
Like, a person, in fact.
Like 416 weeks?
A long time. In fact, some people that I've been in relationships with, it makes them upset that I don't get upset. Because.
No, I understand that.
You know, they think I don't care or that I'm not invested.
I've been on both sides of that in
my life. So at least one relationship I was in, the person pushed it. And after a number of years, actually, I would finally lose all patience with this person. And after the first time, it was easier after that.
Yeah.
And then the relationship had to end eventually. But I'm just like everybody else. I've got my limits, but apparently my limit is further down the road than a lot of other people's limits.
Like, for me to really be like, you're a terrible person, I don't want anything to do with you, it pretty much has to be like a racism, sexism, homophobia thing.
Seriously.
And that's the only thing I can think of. Outside of that, it's just like, you know what? I don't care for your company.
Yeah.
I find you annoying. And the level of annoying you would have to become that I'm like, you know what? I don't want to spend an hour a week with you. what? Pretty annoying, and I've never known you to be remotely close to that level of annoying.
Well, I think for me, I want to be as long-suffering with other people as I would want them to be with me, which turns out to be pretty long-suffering.
Yeah, yeah.
And you, I mean, my relationship with you, like I said, it's not like we've never had challenges, but nothing like...
No. Our relationship is good. But it also helps that we're doing this, because there are other relationships where I don't have a weekly podcast. In fact, most of them. like, at this point, because of the podcast, we can't really drift apart. Which, to me, is how most relationships end at this point.
Sure.
So, even if we got... I mean, we're solid. We're doing great, as far as I can tell.
Yeah.
But if something happened, like, we don't have the option of drifting apart anyway. And that's the only possible thing. Like, if eventually, like, you know what, I don't feel like seeing one. Like, I could see that happening. And sometimes it's not even a active thing. It's just like, you know what, we just never
but we've
made it happen.
We've got a reason to either overcome a thing or address it or get past it somehow.
Yes. Well, and I'm not trying to downplay our friendship.
No, I know.
But we also have essentially an anchor.
Right. Well,
we have a vocation involved.
But we don't have to do it.
No. But things would have to get an extra level. The level of bad things would have to get for us to just sort of not hang out together is a certain level. I think it's a deeper level for us to consciously just stop doing this, is what I'm saying.
Which I think is...
So in some ways, our relationship, regardless of the nature of our friendship, has a stronger base to work from.
Right. But I think one of the reasons we stick to this is for that very reason.
You're right. I think it does become a little chicken and egg.
I think you and I both acknowledge that if we didn't have this, we know ourselves.
From history.
Yeah, we know.
We don't see each other that often.
Yeah, but also, you know, we've had other relationships that we like the people or whatever, and it just went a certain way. That would probably happen to us. We don't want that to happen to us. So whatever, you know, however much, you know, this thing hasn't taken off or been viral or whatever, we still want to do it because... It's a way where we can ensure for as long as we can manage that we keep in touch with one another, we're still talking to one another, and we're still doing something together.
I feel like when we started this, we did not have a lot to do together.
Yeah.
Like when we worked together, obviously, and then when we were making films, we did that together, and to a lesser degree when we were writing. But neither of us was doing a ton of those last ones, and then we weren't working at the same place.
Yeah.
So that's good. But here's the thing. Nowadays, if something happened to the podcast, I'm not saying we wouldn't necessarily still have the same. I think we have more common things now.
That's true.
Stuff with video games, stuff with now you're doing role playing and stuff
that's
like
true.
That.
That's true.
So I think, I mean, but the podcast works and that's fine. So, no, Craig, I know you're trying to be funny, but no.
Is he trying to break us up?
Possibly. Craig, you need to focus on what's important here. There's schools and this guy. You think they're still... They must still be doing it. The guy who talked about it was pretty young. Donkey basketball.
Well, maybe they are. I don't know. This was a long time ago, remember?
But this was not. This is what I'm saying. This guy was not that old.
Huh.
So, at least as recent as a few years ago, donkeys were still doing basketball. At schools. In gyms.
I guess, maybe.
It's weird.
I mean, I did think it was weird at the time when I was a kid. But
you were right.
It was something people did, so whatever.
All right. If you have a donkey basketball story you'd like to share, go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com, and share it.
It's funny the things you don't realize that might be weird. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
and sometimes if it didn't make a big impact, you don't even remember it happened. Then you're like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty fun.
I don't think I've thought about it until you brought it up for like, you know, since I left high school. Simpson. I haven't thought about it.
We didn't explain what the show was. this, what you just heard, that's the show, basically. We talk a lot about donkey basketball. go to the hat and write some more questions. We need them. themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. And then otherwise, listen again next week. and see what new animal and sport we're discussing.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.